Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and give us a call tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the program here this evening. And we're glad to be with you. It's our second week with our new 2-hour format. We used to be coming on at 11 o'clock and had some rearranging of the schedule here at AM 1220, The Word. And so now we're able to be on from, instead of 11 to midnight, we're now on from 10 o'clock until midnight. So glad you're here with us. Hope you'll stay tuned. We got some special things coming up. I'll give some of those announcements in a moment, but let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be able to do this. We just pray that you would just bless now. Use the program tonight for your glory. We just pray it could be a blessing, encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to point those that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, in all things, help us lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. It is chilly outside. I'm sure you've noticed that. I think it was 21 degrees in the car when I got out earlier to come into the studio, which was actually warm when I got in the car at my home after church tonight. I was down, I think we were down about 16 degrees, it said on the house thermometer. And so it was kind of nice to get here where it was a little bit warmer at 21. But it is chilly. We've got January-like temperatures right now, and some places more than others here in the listening area, snow, but nothing like up in New York, there in Buffalo. I saw the news the other night, and one forecaster had a measuring tape, and he brought it up to like 65 inches, and he said, "This is the depth of the snow right now in the stadium there where the Browns and the Bills were supposed to play a game, and they relocated to Detroit. I guess it had been too much of a snowball for even them. But and there's more coming down. I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of snow. I believe that one of the areas where they set a record for a record snowfall, the most amount of snow in the period of time. We'll have to wait and see, but there's supposed to be a warming trend coming up a little bit more toward the middle of the week as we get closer to Thanksgiving. It's supposed to warm up. We're supposed to see temperatures in the 40s and even in the 50s, last I saw on the weather. But I did want to mention a couple of things coming up, and speaking of Thanksgiving, that is this Thursday. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody in advance. We have a special program note. We are having a program, our Friday afternoon program, on November 25th, the day after Thanksgiving, there on Friday the 25th, at 1:30, will be an interview with author and historian Bill Federer. And many people listen to his and subscribe to his American Minute. You can go to AmericanMinute.com and historical briefs that he provides and shows the influence of Christianity on our culture, on the world, really, and especially on America in his American Minute updates. And they're free to subscribe to, but he's going to be on with us. He's written many books dealing with historical things in Christianity, and he is going to be talking about the pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving, and that's going to be coming up this Friday, right after day after Thanksgiving, Friday, November the 25th. So I hope you'll be able to tune in for that. Also coming up in the second hour tonight, in the 11 o'clock hour, we have some guests calling in, and we're going to be talking about the God Bless the USA Bible. And it's got some interesting things to share with that, some things that developed since then when I first started talking about it. But they're going to be on, a couple of guests joining us, and you want to stay tuned for that. That'll be at 11 o'clock in our, we'll start off our second hour talking with Michael Goldstein and Hugh Kirkpatrick about the God Bless America Bible, and our God Bless USA Bible. And I've got one in the studio with me. We'll be talking about how it came to be and some unique things with that. So that's a lot of what's coming up. But in between time, of course, we're going to be taking your calls. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And also, before we get to our callers, I wanted to mention that we have a website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can see a variety of things, some articles and things that I've written. There's links to a couple of booklets, small books that I have there that I put together over the years. And there's also links to our past programs. And I've got to get some things updated. I think the last program that's showing on the website right now is the 6th of November. So we got to get last week's programs up. But you can listen to our Sunday night programs as well as our Friday afternoon programs, all at livewithpastoral.com. You can also link to the page for our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. There's links there at livewithpastoral.com. And there's also links to our social media platforms. We're on a variety of them. On we're on Facebook, we're on CloudHub, Gab, Getter, MeWe, Minds, Parler, Telegram, Twitter, USA.life. There's a few things on YouTube. We're not doing so much with that at the moment. And then also, of course, there's another one called Zapit, which not as many people are familiar with. But those are our social media platforms that we're on. And you can follow us on those. And we keep posted on a few things, but I also try to keep a variety of things on the website itself at livewithpastoral.com. All right, let's see. Anything else that I want to cover here before we get to our phone calls? I'll just take a look, quick look at the calendar here, and I think we've touched on just about everything. So, again, that number is 888-677-9673, and we have John Brown calling from Akron tonight. And, John, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Well, good evening. Good to have you with us tonight.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I know you're a bit of a politically involved pastor, so I figured I'd want to tell you and your people about an important event that's coming up at our state capitol on December 3rd.
Yes.
All right. So I'm sure all of you have heard the drag queen story hours that have been taking a place in our more liberal cities, but in this time they're having one a bit closer to home at our state capitol, just up the road from the state house.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have it at the First Unitarian Universalist Church, which also hosts the Red Oak Community School for Young Children. Of all places, they're hosting this Holly Drag Storytime Hour, Saturday, December 3rd. Their event is 10 to 11:30. We're certainly not advertising that. We're advertising the protest that's being hosted by a variety mm-hmm. of Christian and patriotic groups. We'd like to have the people in place at 9:30, bring signs and things to protest this. It's at that the location is just off High Street, just down from the Graceland shopping area, if you're mm-hmm. Familiar with the north side of Columbus. It's the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Columbus, 93 West Weisheimer Road, Columbus, Ohio. That's 93 West Weisheimer Road, Columbus, Ohio, Saturday, December 3rd. We'd like people to be there at 9:30. The event goes to about 11:30. If they cancel their event because of the threat of protest, they might, we'll cancel our protest. It'll be pointless. But
right.
Other than that, you know, I think it's time we do more than just pray and complain about this stuff. You know,
yeah,
God expects us to put feet to our prayers.
Absolutely. And as you were talking, I just was looking here trying to find that church, the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Columbus, and it's right there on their home page, and it says, drag queens are going to read stories for children of all ages and perform a few holiday numbers. Right. It's supposed to be and they called it a new family-friendly holiday tradition.
Not my kind of family.
Here's a question for you, John. What if instead of men dressed as women and the things that a number of our people have looked at this, and we haven't spent a whole lot of time on this, and probably in the future I should get a program. There's some people out there I could call that maybe we could do some things looking at some of these things that are happening. But generally speaking, the activities, some of these events and the things that they do, if these were real women dressed like this and acting provocatively like often happens in these things, there'd be an outcry. But when men dress up like women, it's described as a family-friendly holiday tradition. Something's not right here.
Shows us the time of the signs. The signs of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Shows us that, you know, Jesus is coming back soon, but I think we're supposed to do more than just sit behind the trenches and wait. Oh, we're getting out of here.
Yeah,
we're supposed to keep on the firing line, and well, you know, I would love for to be found active and faithful and rebuking the unfruitful works of darkness, as my Bible says we're supposed to. So,
well, you know, at church today, I was telling somebody, I say, we talk about watching and waiting for the Lord's return, but there's a third W that we ought to put in there, and that's called working, watching, waiting, and working, and you know, doing the Lord's work, during the work that he's given us. And, you know, one of the ways that the Lord hinders the moral decay in the society around us is through the influence of God's people getting out, calling attention to things, shining light on these things and bringing it to people's attention. And other places have been successful in pushing some of these things out. When they've taken a stand and they've shown the light of moral truth and God's truth on them, and it does make a difference, doesn't it?
Yes, it certainly does. You know, and I, like I said, there has been several of these events that just the threat of the protest. Again, we are certainly not threatening to disrupt their event. We have no intention of setting a single foot on their property. We have no intention of committing any form of crime or violence or even threatening that.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to be peacefully standing there with a gospel witness, with our signs and flags. That's all we can do. That's all we're responsible for doing. You know, there have been several, like I said, there's several places where they've canceled these events or ended them early because of this. And, you know, if we can't get them to cancel this one, maybe it'll be the last one they do. And, you know, that scripture says that others also may fear, you know, maybe we
can. Well, and
the rest of you know, maybe they won't get the idea of doing it in Cleveland or here in Akron.
Yeah, and as you pointed out, you know, a peaceful protest, and which is our right. You know, they have the right. We live in a free society to do this, and this church, as they call themselves, has the right to put something like this on if they choose to do so. But at the same time, we do have the right to say, hey, we don't agree with this. We think it's wrong, and we believe the Bible indicates that it's wrong, and take a stand and be a voice for moral purity in our nation.
Well, amen. So if I could just repeat those details here, you know,
If somebody wants to show up and support the effort to call attention to this, yeah.
So to be clear to our listeners, we're having a group, a variety of Christian and patriotic groups. We're going to be protesting just outside of the First Unitarian Universalist Church and Red Oak Community School for Young Children. at 93 West Weisheimer Road, Columbus, Ohio, 43214. That's December 3rd, 2022. We'd like the people to be there around 9:30. If you can only come a little late, come late. Their event is 10 to 11:30. So it's, you don't have to commit to being the whole day down there. And you know, if you wanted to come and stand for a few hours, there's some fine restaurants and shopping in the area. You could do some of your Christmas shopping in the, you know, very large Columbus shopping area while you're down there. Make the most of the trip. And you know, we're going to be protesting a drag queen story hour that's supposed to be for children. It says they're charging $10 a head and under 2 years are free. I can't imagine taking my children to such a thing. But you can bring your signs or just show up. We will have some plenty of extra signs. And I'm sure your listeners can contact you if they, you know, miss the address or anything like that. That's just 2 weeks from now. We'd love to see some Bible-believing people show up and be a good witness for us. Because there's going to be some unsaved conservatives there who think this is just a political issue. This is a spiritual issue, Pastor. And we need our people to show up and show them that this is what's really going. I know that some of these conservative patriot groups are starting to become a bit hostile to any kind of specific Bible-believing, gospel-preaching witness. I know I've experienced it at some of these events, and so is a few of my brethren. I don't know if you'd like to elaborate on that at all, maybe after I hang up, but and why that's happening. But again, that's December 3rd at 9:30 down in Columbus. Please join us. We'd love to have a great showing of this to show these people we don't tolerate this. We're not San Francisco. We're not Philadelphia.
All right, and it is good to be aware of this. Actually, people can look up the First Unitarian Universalist of Columbus Church online, and they'll find out, they can see the flyer or their ad for this program and everything and see what all that entails. Again, not to advertise it, but to alert people to what's going on. And again, you emphasize it's a peaceful protest, which is absolutely our right to be able to do, and to stand up for morality, Bible truth. And it is a good witness, as you said, to other conservatives, because there is an effort, I believe, and I've talked with some other conservative Christians, conservative meaning conservative politically and Christian meaning born again, and that have been, you know, looking at different things and experiencing different things. There seems to be an effort, and we know where it comes from. The devil does not like the Word of God going forward, and it's like an effort to divide conservatives against Christians, and to try and not just downplay the influence of Christianity, but to actually silence the Christians and only talk about secular things. But many of these issues are beyond secular. They're also very much issues that the Bible talks about, life. You know, how can you look at the abortion issue without talking about life? Morality, anything that deals with morality, same-sex marriage, drag queen story hours, these sorts of things all deal with morality, and the Bible has much to say about morality there. And so in just about every area of interest in these various conservative groups, the Bible has something to say about it. And actually, if I might shamelessly plug our second hour when we're talking about the God Bless the USA Bible, I was sharing it with some people at church tonight. I said they put in one volume America's Founding Documents. And what I mean by that is the Bible has, this particular Bible edition has the King James Bible, followed by the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. There's some other things as well, but I said with that right there, you have America's founding documents, and you know, we've strayed from that. We're trying to divorce ourselves from the foundational document of America, which is the Bible, and a lot of conservatives are being sucked down that path, trying to distance themselves from Christianity. And you really cannot have a truly conservative movement in this country without acknowledging God and His Word. That's my thought.
Of course not. You know, and I was discussing this issue with, you know, Senator Portman's support of the Same-Sex Marriage Act in our Congress.
You're breaking up a little bit on your phone. You're kind of hard to hear.
I'm sorry. I was discussing this issue with a fellow conservative leader, a man who's not a Christian, but staunch conservative, who we've been on the protest line with many times, and he became very angry at me when I said that, you know, Christians do not believe that this kind of behavior should be tolerated. And he insisted that our Constitution allows it. And he even said that I was being unchristian and unloving and wrongly judgmental for even saying that homosexual behavior is contrary to God's plan.
Mm.
And he just said, you know, he said, well, this is a minor issue. You need to keep your personal religious beliefs to yourself. And I said, This book I'm quoting to you is the founding document of our country. Our founding fathers were not godless libertarians.
Absolutely. In fact, we would not have a country today if the Christians in the 1700s had kept their personal political views to themselves. It's precisely because they took their personal religious views. It's precisely because they took their personal religious views into the political arena that we have a country today. Why should we think that we can maintain the country that we have today if we don't continue as believers to bring our personal religious views into the political arena? It's absolutely a necessity.
Of course it is. You know, I forget, I believe it was Madison, but, you know, don't quote me on that. It said, our Constitution is fit only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly unsuitable for the judgment of, for the government of any other.
Absolutely.
Our fathers may not have been, you know, down the line Baptists like we, in fact, many of them were not. But they certainly were not this keep your religion to yourself, hostile towards the Bible, that even I'm seeing even in staunch conservative groups. It's really surprising.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm hoping to see these kind of things, to see true Bible believers take the lead in the pro-life and pro-family movements.
Absolutely.
And work with any person of goodwill, certainly. But there is a gospel that we can't compromise on. There's a Bible that we have to obey, and you know, it's not up for negotiation.
Right. And, well, you know, I'm going to have you give that information again. If somebody is interested, give the date, the time, and where people need to show up.
All right. So this, again, we're protesting outside of a drag queen story hour at the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Columbus and Red Oak Community School. That's at 93 West Weisheimer Road, Columbus, Ohio, 43214. It's just off High Street. It's actually just up the road from the State House. Now, it's about 20 minutes up the road because of all the lights, but it is in North Central Columbus, just near the Graceland Shopping Center. That's December 3rd. We'd like people to be there around 9:30. We shouldn't be there more than two and a half hours. Bring your signs or use ours. We're hoping to have a good showing for this and maybe even have a chance to give the gospel even to our fellow, you know, unsaved conservative activists. Pastor Al, thank you for taking my call. Thank you for giving me so much of your time. And God bless you. Thank you for your ministry.
I appreciate that, and we'll be praying for this event, and I hope that some of our listeners will be able to take part in it. So thank you for calling tonight. I appreciate that. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, John Brown from Akron. That name sounds familiar. We had a John Brown that lived in Richfield. Some people might have heard of him. He actually lived in Akron as well. He was one of the ones that, of course, pushed for the freedom of the slaves. And he actually spent some time in Richfield. And there's a, I'm trying to think what it is now. It was a antique shop for a while, but it was in the John Brown house in Richfield. And there was a secret door in the basement that led to an area where when John Brown was living in Richfield, he would actually had occasion where they would have slaves that were in the Underground Railroad. Akron, Hudson, Richfield were stops on the Underground Railway. And he would hide these people who were, you know, fleeing for their freedom in this place in his cellar. And there was another family in Richfield that the Oviatt family, and I'm trying to think, I think his name was Hiram, who worked with him. And there's a story where Hiram Oviatt, had a wagon with a false bottom on it. And he went out one evening. He lived on one end of what today is State Route 303. In Richfield, it's called Streetsboro Road. In Hinckley, it's called Center Road, I believe. Where Oviatt's lived was toward the western side of Richfield. John Brown was over toward the eastern side, and Oviatt went with his wagon one evening, and he went to John Brown's house. And it was dark, and under the cover of darkness, I believe, if I remember reading the story correctly, it was a moonless night, and so it was exceptionally dark, so people couldn't see what was going on. And they loaded several men into the false bottom of his trailer, or his wagon that he had, and he had the team hitched up to, and then they put some straw or hay or something over top of them after they were in there. They put the boards down. And then he turned around and he headed from East Richfield. And to give you an idea of perspective, if you're familiar at all with State Route 303 running through Richfield, they went from just east of where Brecksville Road crosses Streetsboro Road, State Route 303 today, and they headed west towards Hinckley, and it's about a mile from there to Broadview Road. And then when they got to Broadview Road, they had to go down, and you go down a pretty steep hill, or a lengthy hill, I should say. There's a park. Richfield has a park down there now. It's former Girl Scout camp, High Lake of Julia Crawl. It's now the Richfield Heritage Park. And there's a Kirby Mill. Kirby, the guy that invented the Kirby vacuum cleaner, lived there. And there's a mill that he had and that they've restored. And it's right next to the old Oviatt house, which is currently being restored. And I guess he met with his wife briefly, took on some provisions, and then they headed up the hill into Hinckley, up onto Hinckley Ridge. It's a very steep climb if you've ever been up that part of 303, crossing State Road. He had to actually, at the time, it was steeper than it is today. He had to rest the team, I guess, halfway up or something, and then down Streetsboro Road, 303 rather, State Route 303 today, down toward the center of Hinckley and on. I think eventually he had to take them out to Valley City, and where he passed them off to the next people that were helping them get eventually to Oberlin. I don't think he went all the way to Oberlin. He may have, but eventually they got to Oberlin, and that was part of the Underground Railway path. And then from Oberlin, there were people who assisted in getting them up eventually into Canada. And so our caller using the name John Brown when he called in with his name, it made me think about that. So standing up for what they thought was right against injustice, and helping free people. They believed that slavery was immoral, that it was unchristian, and there are a number of churches in northeastern Ohio that were involved in that. So getting off into a slightly different area than protesting against the Drag Queen Story Hour, but there's a long history, I guess that's what I'm getting at, to people in northeastern Ohio protesting against immoral things in society that may be on paper legal. After all, slavery was legal in much of the United States at that time, but just because something is legal doesn't mean that it's moral. And that's where Christians need to let their voices be heard and protest against things that may be legal They're certainly not moral. And when God's word's against it, we ought to be against it as well. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got another hour and a half to go. We've got some callers on hold, so stay tuned. We got a short break. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we'll be with you until midnight tonight. And you're saying, wait a minute, two things. Why are you on now, and why are you saying you're going to be on for another hour and a half? Well, it's because we started at 10 o'clock. Last week was our first night starting at 10 o'clock. We now have 2 hours, if you haven't heard that yet. We're now on from 10 o'clock until midnight, rather than just 11 till midnight. And so that gives us more time to talk, more time to deal with people's calls and things, and more time to get into some other topics and everything. And so hopefully we'll use it for God's glory. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And let me encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can learn more about me and about the program. You can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Certainly invite you to visit us there. And you can also listen to past programs. There's also a number of articles and things that are there. The latest article that I have is entitled "For a Piece of Bread." And, you know, it deals with how famines and crises have been used for thousands of years to concentrate wealth, power, and control of the masses into the hands of a select few. And so I actually look at something that I was aware of back during my time in the Air Force in the 1980s, how the communist government, the Ethiopian Workers Party, and the communist leaders in Ethiopia manufactured essentially a famine. They took advantage of some food shortages and some droughts and things to manufacture a famine that they used to basically control the people. And then, of course, the unfortunate thing, you know, to this day, when somebody I hear on the radio, people playing Christmas music, and they get that one, Do They Know It's Christmas? And then there's another song, We Are the World, you know, type thing. These groups, Band-Aid and all that, knew what was going on. And I think they're just as guilty as the communists in Ethiopia in using the crisis for their own advantage. What happened is they raised a lot of money, and the money that went to buy grain and stuff like that, it went on ships, and the ships sat in the port because the communist government wouldn't let them unload. When they did let them unload, they charged a horrendous high price for the dock fees and everything like that. And then the grain, much of it went into that was unloaded, went into the warehouses where it spoiled or was eaten by mice and stuff, and it was not allowed to go to the people. Some of it fed the military and fed the communist officials, and the little bit that did make it to the people was used to essentially, if you were willing to bow to the communist party in the camps that they relocated people into, you could get a piece of bread. And so I examine what people will do for a piece of bread and how that's used, and to beware when somebody offers you a piece of bread in the midst of a crisis. So that's online right now, For a Piece of Bread, and kind of a cautionary article there. And there's others there. Some are a little lighter. A couple of months ago, I published one called Cats Are the Reason that the Flat Earth, that there's no such thing as a flat earth. I'm trying to think of the name of it. Cats Are Proof That the Earth Is Not Flat. That's it. And just other things, different topics and all that are there, as well as other articles and things. And I think there'll be things there that'll be a blessing to you. That's it. LiveWithPastorAl.com. That's LiveWithPastorAl.com. And we're going to get back to our callers. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Terry calling in from Canada tonight. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome.
My mind went completely blank. Who was the vice president under Trump?
Under Trump, Mike Pence.
Mike Pence. Yeah, name went completely blank on me. I was going to mention that.
Yeah, he was once the governor of Indiana, I believe.
Yeah, and I was watching him on Wednesday night, and he was speaking to a bunch of people about what was going on and with Donald Trump and that. But
yeah, he's currently trying to distance himself from Donald Trump and position himself possibly to run for president himself.
Yeah, he didn't come right out and say that yet, but I think that will come.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting, but we got another 2 years. I heard somebody recently saying, listen, we got 2 years. It's going to be rough. It's going to be crazy, and it's going to be overwhelming at times. And he said, live your life, do what you can, but 2 years is quite a while in politics. We need to pace ourselves, and I like it better in the Bible, where he says not to be weary in well-doing. And so we don't want to get weary in trying to do the right things. We want to keep on keeping on for the Lord, don't we?
Yeah. I was going to bring up a couple of happy for you guys before I bring up the subject I was going to bring up. I was going to say happy Republican Takeover House Day.
I'm saving this for January. I want to get a picture or maybe a short video of when Nancy Pelosi hands over the gavel to the new Speaker of the House. And I want to play the music from The Wizard of Oz, if you remember the one, the ding dong, the witch is dead, the wicked witch, the wicked witch is dead.
I'm gonna say happy Columbus Day, and And happy, like you guys celebrate two holidays, right?
Well, we have
Thanksgiving Day and Happy Columbus Day.
Columbus Day was in October, so that's already gone by. That was what was that? That was October 10th.
Oh, okay.
And then we have Thanksgiving on the 24th. Now in Canada, you had Thanksgiving last month, didn't you?
Yeah, October. Yeah, October.
Yeah. Well, and it makes sense because Canada's, you know, to the north of most of the United States, so it would make sense that you would have it a little bit earlier.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yeah. Cause, I was going. I was going to bring up another subject, but I was listening to your affiliate station,
mm-hmm.
and a guy called in, and he was condemning people believing that God forgives our future sins.
Hmm. Well, you know, that's a curious thing because I always ask people, you know, how can God forgive you for sins you haven't committed yet? And I say, well, okay, when Jesus was on the cross, do you believe that he paid for all of your sins? And usually they'll say, yeah. I said, well, when Jesus was on the cross, how many sins had you committed?
A lot.
No, none. You hadn't been born yet.
Oh, yeah, right.
They were all future.
Right.
They were all future to him. So just because some are future to us yet, that doesn't mean they don't count or they're not forgiven. They were all future. You know, it's beyond me how they can get that. But again, it's also a misunderstanding of God's nature, his timeless nature, because people think God experiences time the way we do. You know, we're always on our way from the past to the future, but we're always in the present. And God exists outside time. In fact, time exists within the infinite being of God. And so as a consequence, God exists all the time at every time. Or you could say it this way, God exists every time, all the time. And, you know, so the moment on the cross right now to God is real, as real to him right now as an experience as our time that we're spending talking on the radio right now is to us. It's not a past event for him. It's something that he is experiencing and will experience for all eternity. But we might be getting a little further afoot than your question there, so I get back to you on your question.
Well, he looks at when we become believers and the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. comes in with us, in us,
yes.
he looks at us as if we've never sinned.
Right. He says, I'll remember your sins no more. And he declares us in Romans chapter 3 to be just. So.
And it says in Romans chapter 3, too, it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Right. And
all have sinned.
Yeah, and so we have sinned. God knows that we sin. That's why Jesus died on the cross. But this is what people don't get. When he's talking about this in Romans chapter 3, I just turned over there. He says here, and I'm going to start reading, there's a lengthy sentence in the King James Bible, which preserves these long sentences. This is one of the reasons I use a King James Bible, one amongst many. A lot of people don't understand this. The newer versions break up these long sentences, and in doing so, they break up the continuity of the thought. They break up these long sentences that have supporting clauses to the main subject, and they turn supporting clauses into the main subject of other sentences, which can detract or even change the meaning of some of these passages. But the King James preserves the structure of the original underlying Hebrew and Greek. And so we have a sentence that in a King James Bible starts in, let's see, verse number 21, and it runs all the way down through verse number 26. That's a long verse or a long sentence. And just let me read here, starting verse 21 as the sentence begins, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Then there's a semicolon. We go into verse 22 where he says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And then there's a colon, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then there's a colon going on talking about our justification. But what I wanted to look at was in verse 22, it says, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, that's when we put our faith in Christ. The righteousness of God, when we put our faith in Christ, when we're saved, the righteousness of God, he says, is unto all and upon all them that believe. So at the moment of salvation, God literally puts his righteousness on us. And when he looks at us from that point on, he sees his righteousness, which is why even though we sin after we're saved, we aren't condemned, because God doesn't see our sin anymore. He sees his righteousness when he looks at us. And either he sees his righteousness or he doesn't. Some of these people, I think, believe that God's righteousness is transparent and our sin shines through here and there.
Yeah.
But that's not what it says. It not only says in the same sentence that he sees his righteousness, it also says at the end of that sentence in verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, not our righteousness, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So not only does God see his righteousness when he looks at us, he also sees us as having been justified because we put our faith in Christ. We don't suddenly become unrighteous, and our sin does not suddenly show through. You know, God's righteousness wears thin here, and it shows through. I don't know why people don't understand this.
Yeah, and back in the Old Testament, which I think is it talks about when the Levites did a sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
it only covered their sins for a year.
Right, it was a temporary thing, but it also pointed to the coming sacrifice of the Messiah, whom we know as Christ, Jesus
right.
Christ. And so now that the temporary sacrifice of lambs and goats and bulls and things is done away with, we have the permanent sacrifice of Christ that they pointed to, and it's the blood of Christ that, unlike the blood of goats and sheep and calves, which was only temporary, the blood of Christ, the Bible says, cleanses from all sin, not just some sin, all sin. That's every sin you ever committed. That's every sin that you're about to commit and every sin that you ever will commit. It's all covered by the blood of Christ. If I had to confess every single sin that I committed, and if my sins after I got saved had to be confessed, I'd be lost as can be, because I don't know every sin that I commit. Even right. as a born-again Christian today, I sometimes do things I'm sure that God cringes and says, why did you do that? And I don't even realize how wrong it is. So,
and Paul says in Romans chapter 7, you have another calling?
Yeah, we do as well, yeah.
I was going to say that, in chapter 7, Paul talks about sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer me that sins, but what is in me, which is in
right.
the flesh. Well, it's no good thing.
Right, and he's talking there about the sin nature that we have in the flesh. And again, this is something, there are some people that are approached to the Bible, they don't think. They don't try to look into what's actually being said. They just kind of skim the surface and they go, oh, okay. And they just go on, but they don't compare scripture to scripture. Or somebody tells them something and they say, oh, that makes sense, but they never investigate it. When Paul was saying there in Romans chapter 7 about the sin, he says that when he sins, this is Paul's words in Romans 7:17. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So in other words, he's no longer guilty of that sin, but it's the sin nature that dwells in him. He continues, for I know that in me, this is in verse 18, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And he continues, verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bring me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So the inward man is the new creature created in Christ Jesus, which over in 1 John, the Bible seems to indicate that if you're truly saved, you'll never sin. But he's talking about the new man, the new spirit, because before we get saved, our spirit is dead to God because of sin. But when we get saved, we become a new creature in Christ. The flesh does not change, but the spirit is changed. And that new spirit that's now alive to the things of God cannot sin. It cannot. But our flesh still does, and Paul puts it very, very clear or very graphic fashion here. A war between his flesh, which has a sin nature, and the spirit, which now has a holy nature, and bringing, he says, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So with his mind, that's the soul where he makes the decision, the will. And we're pulled to the flesh or we're pulled to the spirit. Which one will we listen to? Which one will win? And if you're a child of God and you're not reading your Bible, you're not praying, you're not fellowshipping with other Christians and growing, the spirit will probably lose to the flesh more often than not. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about your spirit. If you're feeding the flesh, then the flesh is going to grow stronger. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we pray. That's why we go to church and we fellowship with other believers. That feeds that new spirit, and it grows stronger so that hopefully we'll be able to resist the pull of the flesh. So this is it's the battle, and it's a battle that every Christian goes through, and God knows it, and thankfully, he's forgiven me of all my sin, and, you know, I'm just relieved, because if I had to confess every sin that I do after I got saved in order to maintain my salvation, I'd be lost, because for one thing, I wouldn't know what half of it is probably. So
we spend most of our time writing a book.
Yeah,
the biggest book ever.
And I know we're supposed to examine ourselves daily and confess and things that the Lord brings to mind, but it's not for forgiveness in order to maintain our salvation. It's for forgiveness for failing the Lord so that he can strengthen and help us to do better the next time. So,
amen.
Yeah. So it's a powerful concept when you think about it, and it implies some... It implies some thinking on the part of the believer and some time with the Bible, looking into the deep things of God. And so there's more that we can touch on that, I know, but we do have another caller waiting. But that is a good piece of meat to dwell on, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And especially coming up Thanksgiving.
Again.
Yeah, thank you. And that's something we ought to be thankful for, that God saves us from all sin, huh? So,
amen.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Terry. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Nancy, who's been waiting patiently as well. And Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. I was very excited to hear about Bill Federer going to be on your program next Friday the 25th. I was very blessed to see him live in Columbus about 10 years ago at the Southwest Radio Church Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Hutchins was there, but that's not why I called. But anyhow, he's like world famous, and he's going to be on your show. So that's really amazing. Now, my question or comment tonight was about why no red wave?
Why no what?
I think there would be
why no red wave? Is that what you said?
That way, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, a certain Christian pastor who, I'm sure you're going to figure out who it is, the voice of the Christian resistance He speaks boldly and freely about the apparent election fraud, I think more than any other pastor, at least I've heard, because I think there was a lot of fraud. And well, not necessarily fraud, because the Democrats changed the laws, you know, because they let all these, you know, 3 million illegal immigrants in, and then they gave them, you know, the ones that were of the right age, if they wanted a driver's license, okay, you have a driver's license, now you can vote. And then they did a lot of ballot harvesting and a lot of unscrupulous things, which I think they repeated a lot of the things that were revealed in that movie 2000 Mules,
mm-hmm.
from the election. So I think there would have been a red wave, but a certain newscaster, I don't like to mention names, he said that the Biden family, which we all know have committed numerous crimes, are the untouchable, and we're just unable to prosecute them. Well, you know, I like to remind people of Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And, you know, God will get them eventually. And then another conservative newscaster said, well, we didn't have a red wave because the world hasn't gotten bad enough. Well, I think it's gotten really bad.
I don't know what world they're looking at, but...
I know, that's what... I don't know if you happen to hear on news fans.
Yeah.
And then somebody said, well, enough Republicans didn't get out and vote. But I think all the unscrupulous things that the Democrats pulled... negated the red wave. What do you think about that, Pastor Al?
Well, I think there's a lot of that going on. I think a lot of God's people didn't get out and vote like they could have and should have. But yeah, there is a lot of fraud. There is a lot of abuse of the system there. And it is a case where sometimes people, good people, just get discouraged and they think, well, it's not going to matter whether I vote or not. They're just going to cheat and compile, you know, the votes that they need until they achieve their goals. And so it's useless to go out. And a lot of times we look at that. While you're talking about that, I was thinking of Psalm 73, where, you know, David, or a Psalm of Asaph is what it is. And as he's remarking about the wicked, and I know we just got about a minute left, he says he was envious at the foolish when he saw the prosperity of the wicked, and he seemed like they're even in their corruption and their wickedness, they're getting away with everything, and they're increasing, and they're prospering. And he said it was, he says in verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He was having a crisis of faith. And then he says in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. And when he got things in perspective, they may be prospering in this world, but without God, with no fear of God, they're certainly not going to prosper in the world to come. Hey, Nancy, we're out of time. I got about 5 seconds. I want to thank you for calling. Stay tuned.